Welcome into a Wednesday Inside the Jaguars. JP Shadrick with Jeff Lagerman, John Hosier. It's Tennessee Titans week. The final week of the regular season rolls along. Jaguars back in the practice field today after the line of storms came through. Actually pretty nice for practice today. The biggest news out of that practice, again, we start a show with talk about Maurice Jones-Drew.
Sure, the ongoing storyline. And Maurice ran this morning. He had run last week. He ran some Monday. Still experiencing a lot of soreness. Mike Markey said he ran better today than he ever had in this whole period, but it still sounds like he's not going to play. Markey said he's very questionable. He didn't practice today, so it sounds like it's not happening.
He didn't practice yet.
Right.
You know, I mean, so I don't even think that that's a decision. I mean, you got a franchise-type running back and hadn't practiced yet. Last game of the season that really has no importance for this football team whatsoever. There's no reason for him to play.
Still a question mark at running back, as it has been for the last few weeks. Another question mark now is at wide receiver. Cecil Shorts, banged in the head, concussion, done for the year on IR. Who steps up?
Well, first of all, it's really too bad for Cecil because he was 25 yards away from 1,000 yards. That's not a huge deal in the big picture of his career. But for this franchise, no receiver had reached that since 2005. For him, with the kind of year he had, where he's come from, it would have been nice to see him get it.
I think that has been one of the great stories of the season, is watching Cecil Shorts. And you know, to go from where he was at last year to where he's at now, it's been fun to watch. I mean, I was hoping that we could watch more of it. Mm-hmm. And even in the last game, you know, to see what Cecil could do against the Tennessee Titans. You know, I'm sad for him, you know, because, I mean, first and foremost, you know, you're always concerned about a guy's health. I mean, we're talking about two games that he got knocked out. I mean, it's clear last week that he was out. In Buffalo, he reportedly got knocked out there. You know, that's a concern going forward with him. So now you have two wide receivers with concerns about head injuries. 1 year after having a linebacker in Clint Session that you don't have anymore.
And all that aside, I thought what was interesting about Cecil this year was, you know, we think of him now the last month, month and a half, as this guy who's doing this. He wouldn't even start in the beginning of the year and wasn't even playing a whole lot. He had the catch against Minnesota, so you sort of think, hey, he's been doing it all year. There was a period there where he was not getting on the field a whole lot, really played through that situation for a remarkable year, and you do hope he's okay.
Earned every bit that he got, and it was so fun to watch him this year on film.
My film study?
No, it got better every
because,
day.
Because, I mean, it really is because, you know, when you watch Cecil play, his route running is so good. I mean, he makes everything look exactly the same. He has become, I think, one of the best route runners in the league. And I'm not I'm not trying to stretch here now about Cecil. I believe that Cecil Shorts is one of the best route runners in the National Football League, bar none.
We had this question a few weeks ago when he was out. Who takes his spot on Sunday, and will it be a rotation of guys, John?
I think it'll be a rotation of guys over in his spot. Jordan Shipley stays in the same spot, as does Justin Blackman. So you've got Tony Clements, and I guess you go down the roster now.
just start naming names.
Good luck.
It's kind of like the running back position
now.
Right. Yeah.
That's the way it is, you know. That's the way sometimes you get towards the end of the season.
This Jaguars team is 2-13. Tennessee's 5-10. They're really in similar spots here, guys. Out of the race.
People
last week.
All around the country just can't wait for this ball game. Right? I mean,
they should have moved to the prime time flex game. Right?
That's where it's at, you know. And I've been a part of games like this, you know. And people ask, what do you play for? Well, I think the one thing that pops up in your mind is you're playing for a job. You know, the coaches are coaching for their jobs. You know, Bud Adams in Tennessee has talked about, you know, is Mike Munchak the guy in Tennessee? And he's going to have to ask him some questions at the end of the season. You don't know what's going to happen here. But those questions always pop up when you have a football team that didn't exceed or meet the expectations going into the season. And Tennessee certainly hasn't met their expectations either. Last year they won seven games, and so the fans and the owner was expecting that football team to take a step up. They did not. This football team here, we clearly thought that this team would be better than having two wins at this ballpoint, so the questions are there.
And it's interesting, Jeff, you've been on the player side in the locker room. I've been on the side where I'm asking you questions in the locker room. This was the first week where on a Wednesday you really heard questions to guys about next season, about what's going to happen, about distractions. So it'll be interesting to see how this team handles that this week. I think that's a topic going forward.
Played in a few of these games, and you know what you do? you're scoreboard watching, mm-hmm. and I'm not talking about scoreboard watching for, you know, other scores to see, you know, where your seating's going to be. You're looking at the clock.
You're clock watching.
You're counting down, watching. And you're looking forward to the end of the game, and you're hoping that you get out of it healthy.
Real quickly, one point about this game. The defensive line last week had their best game of the year. Three mm-hmm. sacks, got a lot of pressure on Brady. It could be back-to-back weeks where they have a strong outing because that offensive line for Tennessee is kind of questionable.
Yeah, the Tennessee offensive line and their situation has been an absolute train wreck. They have one remaining starter from their expected starting lineup, and that's Michael Roosh, the left tackle. David Stewart, big country, the right tackle, broke a leg. Steve Hutchinson had a knee. Laura Harris had a knee. Eugene Amano didn't even get to the season opener at center because he tore a muscle in his arm. It's a bad situation in Tennessee, and against Green Bay, Green Bay sacked Jake Locker seven times. And so if the defensive line wants to feel good about their New England Patriot performance, they should feel better about their performance after playing Tennessee, at least I would think so.
So it pretty much comes down to you worry about Chris Johnson every play because you're going to stop him -1, -1, 0, but he's still that guy, no matter who the offensive line is, who can break an 80-yard run. So, you know, you would think that's the big concern going in is making sure he doesn't do that.
And there's really, I think you're right in that it's Chris Johnson the big concern. Jake Locker is struggling. You know, Jake Locker has a non-throwing shoulder issue that he's dealt with this year. And watching him on film, there's question marks, is Jake Locker a franchise guy for Tennessee going forward? And right now, I don't know if he's shown anything to people in Tennessee to make a statement that he is.
And last time out, the Jaguars actually held Johnson in check for the most part.
They did a nice job, similar to what they did to Darren McFadden. You know, that breakaway back is something the Jaguars have handled okay this year. There were times they didn't handle, you know, the third quarter against guys as well. But in terms of that breakaway guy like Johnson, like McFadden, did a pretty good job this year.
Well, there may not be a lot of people that are looking forward to this game, but I will say that we're all looking forward to Nashville.
It's a great city.
Yeah. We usually stay a block and a half off of Music Row, and we don't have curfew, you know, like the players. And I'm not saying we're going to party all night, but it's a great city to go to, and it's a lot of fun. And if you like live music, you know, I think like most of us do, I mean, it's a great trip. And yeah, I want to recommend to Jaguar fans, if I had to pick one game mm-hmm. to road trip to, I mean, would you go? I know you would be in agreement.
Yeah, you can get there, not a long. Yeah.
It's pretty easy to get there. You can drive there. You can fly there. It's a great city. It's all fairly centrally located, and that the stadium's there around the downtown area. That's a great place to road trip.
Nothing quite like walking from the hotel, going onto the strip, and sort of seeing that come alive. It's a neat place.
I'm shocked. Call me crazy if you don't agree, but I'm shocked that you're a country music fan, Jeff.
I like all kinds of music.
Blown away.
So what are you trying to say, JP?
I'm just saying.
Now, wait a minute. Where are you from? What state is he from?
Alabama.
That's right.
Oh, roll Tide. There's not any country music in your state.
We got a little bit there. A little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit.
We're in Jacksonville here now. Come on now. We got a lot of country music here, too.
In Nashville this weekend. That's it for Inside the Jaguars. More for the Titans and Jags coming up tomorrow on Inside.
What do you like, urban music or something?